Blog Talk Radio.
I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look up on His face. But the wait's been long and the wait's been rough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. My mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a knocking, showing me an easier way, I stand right where on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye, take my foot from the rock, and my mind's made up. The devil, he will tempt you and fill your way with strife. He'll make you sick in body, even pride take your life. But put your trust in Jesus and say, Lord, I've had enough. The Lord will say, move on, Satan, he's got his mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, Reaching the World for Christ. We're coming back on Blog Talk Radio. Just want to welcome everybody in to listen to us and be a part of it. If you'd like to call in on Blog Talk Radio just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us, you can call in on this number. It's 347-308-8524. Just call in 347-308-8524 and be a part of this and just to worship the Lord with us. And if you'd like to be a part of the ministry and help sponsor it, you can go to our website at LloydandBettyYearwood.com, click on donation, and then it'll take you there to where that you can donate to us to help us on our ministry, and it'd be appreciated. We're not begging, but God knows the needs and everything, so just be obedient to God. So if you want to call in tonight and be a part of this ministry, you can call in on 347-308-8524. So we'd give you a time to come in and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. So just thank God for that. So at this time, I'm going to let my wife come and read the prayer request. And so I want everybody that really believes, get in there and pray with us, because there's special needs out there tonight, and they need a touch from God, need a miracle.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be back with everyone, and we welcome everyone to listen tonight. And we have much to pray about, and we want every believer to help us pray for all the needs. The Millers have been under attack from the enemy, but we know that they are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And whatever the devil meant for bad, God will turn it around for the good. In Jesus' name. William Wooten had a stroke and needs a miracle. Let's remember him. My nephew Brandon is in Iraq. He needs prayer. And all the other ones that are over there with him. Robert North needs deliverance from alcohol and salvation. And he needs prayer for his little 10-year-old boy, Jonathan. My nephew Devin needs salvation. Bishop Drennan's uncle needs a miracle. Brother Yearwood needs a car, so pray for that, that God will meet the need. Brother Timothy needs a job. So let's all go to the Lord in prayer.
Our most gracious, kind of heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done, what you're going to do. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you're going to move, God, upon this broadcast. Father, that you're going to anoint the words, God, that goes out across this land. Father, today that will just touch and stir the hearts of God. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. Lord, give them miracles, God, to touch Brother and Sister Miller, God. In
God,
a special way, Father, and Lord, in each one of the others. God,
do,
we thank you, Lord Jesus. We're just asking you, Father, that you will
God
move and that you will deal with each
Jesus
one of them, God,
God,
in your own special way and meet
Jesus
the needs of them, Father, and heal,
Lord,
sanctify,
God,
and fill with the Holy Ghost, God.
And
Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to ask my wife, Sister Betty here to come around and read us a scripture here. Now, we're speaking tonight on the power of the cross. So, won't you just be obedient to God? And if God wants you to call in, be a part of this, call in on 347-308-8524. So, just worship the Lord.
Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Praise the Lord. You know, I just thank God tonight that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, without him, we wouldn't have nothing. And you know, with Christ and with him going to the cross, he made it possible that we have life. And you know, everything's got to be done through the cross, and everything's got to be done through Jesus. You know, there ain't no other way to go tonight but except through Jesus and except through the cross. And so I just praise God tonight that we have an opportunity to come back into your homes or wherever that you may be, just to lift up the name of Jesus. Just want you to think about it and just worship the Lord in spirit, truth, and just want you to know tonight that if you don't have Jesus as he's the author and the finisher of your faith, if you ain't got that, my friend, you need to get it. You need to cry out and ask God to come in and be the life that you would have him to be in your life. You know, without him, there's no hopes. And without him and without the cross, there's no way that we can get into the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross that you and I could have this life and have it more abundant. And I thank God tonight that he did that special for you and I. You know, you might say, well, he didn't do it. It wouldn't help me none. But my friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus died on the cross. If it hadn't been nobody but just you, he would have died there just for you. But he could be the author and the finisher of your faith. And you know, I praise God tonight that you can look to the author and the finisher of your faith through Jesus. And he went and made it, praise God, all possible. And I want to read the last part of that again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He entered the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, I praise God tonight that we can know that he is sitting at the right hand side, and he went and endured it all on the cross for you and I, my friend. And tonight I tell you, it's time that we realize the cross is the most important thing. You know, Jesus was beaten and whipped in Pilate's hall and took the stripes on his back for our healing, and he took the stripes on our back before he went to the cross for our salvation. And I thank God tonight that he done that, that he was willing to carry out the author and the finisher of the plan of his Father, the plan of God. You know, I tell you tonight, without God and without his plan, my friend, we wouldn't have nothing. But I praise God that we can go and know that beyond every shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know, without him, we can do nothing. And I praise God tonight for that. We're going to go here and read another verse by God's help. Praise the Lord.
Luke 9:23 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, tonight, my friend, I want to praise God. Hallelujah. And he said unto him all. You know, praise God, he didn't leave out none. But he said to the all of any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, praise God, that's what the Lord is expecting out of you and I today, is to take the cross and take it up and follow him. Praise God, without we take up the cross and follow him and bear the things that God wants us to, we're in trouble. Praise God. We have a call in here tonight to 573 Go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yes, this is Evangelist Miller up here in Harville, Missouri.
Praise the Lord,
everyone.
Praise the Lord, Brother Miller. Glad to have you in there tonight. So go ahead and obey the Lord. We're speaking on the fire of the cross.
We just come in there and we heard that what he was talking about there, and I believe God just wants his people to know who he is and just to get close to him, don't you?
Amen. I do too, brother.
I really believe that God is looking for a remnant of people that will humble themselves and cry out to him. I believe, God, it don't matter where you're at tonight. I really believe that by my experience, pains, growing pains.
Amen.
In the Holy Ghost, I believe when your finances is all gone, and I've been there, and most people have.
Yeah.
And I believe when not only the finances are gone, but maybe when your health fails or your health problems don't just exactly add up to what you thought should be. Maybe a loved one has went by the way of the grave, or whatever the situation is. You know, sometimes when we're in a wine press, it really hurts, and it causes a lot of people to stumble and causes a lot of people to fall and go back into the ways of the world because they don't know how to get a hold of God. And you know, Peter said it right there when they was having a little conflict. You know, a lot of people started leaving Jesus.
Yes.
And he turned around and he looked at Peter and he said, "Will you also go away?"
Yeah.
You know, it might be just a little bit different circumstances, but what I'm trying to say is that Peter told him a response. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Where else am I going to go?"
Amen.
And tonight, God allows, I know people are troubled on all sides. Why? Because we're living in the end times. People are being put through the fire. Why? Because you're going to need it in the end time. People are having to get ready for the coming of the Lord. And I'll tell you, people, the more that I love Jesus, the more I don't care about anything in this earth realm. The more that I know about my Jesus, he don't want me having a whole lot. Oh, sure, he'll let us have all the riches we want. But if it's going to consume us, if it's going to control us, if it's going to keep him from him, then he's liable to take him away. Because he's a God that's a jealous God, and tonight, I know because of trials and tribulations and growing pains, people are falling away by the thousands, and the ones that ain't falling away, they're sleeping and they're slumbering. And I'm going to tell you, God's not pleased. You know, God at any time can change our situation.
Yes, he can.
At any given moment, no matter what we're faced with, no matter what we're walking in, I know a lot of times in my darkest hours when God moves up on me more so than any. Why? Because he's got me in a place where he can talk to me and get my attention. And that's the thing he's doing to his people right now. He's trying to get his people's attention because he wants to do a new thing. Let me tell you, you need to be rapture ready in the hour that we live in.
Amen.
You need to be sold out to Christ right now. It don't matter what your circumstances are. It don't matter, you know, if you're 3 months behind on your house payment and there ain't no money in the checking account.
Amen.
Because God will make a way. It may not be the way we want. But let me tell you, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't have nowhere to lay his head. He said, how do you say, birds of the air have nests,
foxes
have holes.
And the foxes had holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head.
No place to lay his head. So tonight, I don't really think God would take away what you got. And it don't have to be a mansion in this earth. It could be just a little bitty place, a little bitty thing to keep you out of the dry, or keep you dry, keep you warm and keep you cool. A place for you to abide is what I'm saying until he comes. Can you just imagine the word says that he's gone to prepare a place for you and I? He said, in my house are many mansions. Do you know that the kingdom of heaven is going to be so large that he has many mansions. And tonight I'm here to tell you that, you know, he's got a place for us.
Yes,
am I worried about a mansion? No. Am I worried about a place in heaven? Yes. I'm here to tell you that I want to make it, and I just don't want to barely make it. I want to make my Father in heaven proud of me, and if it's painful here on earth, I'll just have to get over it. If I have to do without in this earth, I'll just have to get over it. If I have to suffer in this earth for my Christ, I'll just have to get over it and go on, because I know the end result. You know, time is not very long here in earth.
No, it ain't.
I've always told people, I said, earth is just a stepping stone to determine where you're going to spend eternity.
Yes,
you know, a stepping stone to see, are you worthy to enter in to the kingdom of heaven? Or do you have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So many people nowadays don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. But let me tell you, they're deceived. They're sort of like sleeping and slumbering. Why? Because they have no thirst to seek after righteousness. They don't care if Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Let me tell you, they didn't care when Jesus walked the earth. They knew who he was, but yet they went ahead and released Barabbas, which was a murderer, and they turned around and crucified our Lord and Savior. So you and I and everyone else that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man may have a chance to enter into a place called the kingdom of heaven. And I love it. It's all about the cross. It's all about the works of Christ. It's all about what he has went and done. And I'll tell you one more thing. It's according to your faith where you'll belong and where you'll go. I love the Lord tonight. And as we speak, we're going through a lot. But you know what? Don't change my destiny. What I feel does not change my desire or my thirst for my Jesus. It hurts. It's painful. Some people out there are listening. You've got all kinds of complications. It could be your health. It could be a situation in your family life. It may be your kids are away from you and you're afraid you're going to lose one of your children. I don't know your circumstance, but I can tell you about a God of Abraham, a God of Isaac, and a God of Jacob that's done walked the path for you, my friend. He's done went the extra mile. He's done walked up Calvary's Hill. He's done went to Golgotha, and they crucified him on the cross. And I'll tell you what, on the third day he rose again. Let me tell you his name. His name is called Jesus.
Amen.
Some people call him Emmanuel. You know, he's got many forms of identity, but let me tell you what, he's our Savior.
Yes.
Can you say he's your Savior tonight? Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me get this call in right here, brother, and get right back with you. 228, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Brother Vine from South Mississippi. God bless. How you doing, brother?
Sister? Praise the Lord, everyone.
Oh, praise God. I just enjoying Brother Miller there. It's you know, like he said, this world is nothing but a dressing room.
Amen.
Whether you put on a cloak of righteousness or whether you put on that other cloak, it's up to you. Praise God. Isaiah 53:4 says it all. If you get in that study, that the meaning of this scripture is that Jesus carried the full load of our pain, sorrows, and sickness, so that we need not to have none of them. If we have them, guess what? We haven't unloaded them on Jesus. God had not intended for his people to be sick and distressed and without all the time. He sent his son. Psalms 103 says it. He says it. Romans 5:6-11 says it. Galatians 3:6 says it. Hebrews 10:10 says it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption of sin. I believe it this way. Without the cross, the soul is lost.
Amen.
Yeah.
Without the cross, that'd be for sure. The soul would be lost. We wouldn't even had an opportunity to even think about getting right. But praise God, through the cross, by him going to the cross, he made it possible that we could have this life and have it more abundant. Now, I like this right here, Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and anointed them authority over all devils and to cast, to cure diseases. Praise God. I tell you what, I thank God tonight that he looked up there and he seen his 12 disciples and he called them all together and he gave them power. And you know, I believe today, my friend, that when God looked out, he seen us and he called us and he anointed us to preach the word or to be whatever he told us to be. Glory, hallelujah. He gave us this same power that he gave his disciples. He told us to go out, praise God, and just to deliver the people, you know, and set them free. And I believe tonight that a lot of times that I know that we wonder and look around, and you know, a lot of time I believe that we forget the power that was placed in our hands whenever Jesus went to the cross and hung there. He gave us power over all diseases. He gave us power over all the devils. He gave us authority to cast them out. You know, he told them there, he said that just to go forth. And over in the 16th chapter, I believe, Mark, he said the believers shall lay hands on the sick. They shall cast out devils. And, you know, I believe tonight that if you're a believer, we've got this power that God has placed in our hands. He's told us to use it. And, you know, a lot of times I look around and I think, oh, me, you know, why am I doing what God told me to do? You know, I can't point my finger at God and say, God, you're not doing this. I have to look back at myself and say, why am I doing what God has told me to do? Why am I not going forth with the power and authority that God has placed in my hands? You know, I have to, oh, me, praise God. I'm going to preach on myself for a while. I may not touch nobody else. But he said, this only comes by prayer and fasting. I look back a lot of times and I think about, you know, why am I not doing what God told me to do? He said, this comes by prayer and fasting. And we wonder why that we don't see no deliverance a lot of times. Maybe it's because we've not pushed the plate back a little while. Maybe it's not because we've not got down on our knees a little while. Maybe it's because we've not done something else God has told us to do. But he has anointed every one of us from the cross, and he's told us, you go forth and do what I've told you to do. I thank God today that we need just to, I believe God's children needs to bind up and bind ourselves together with the power of the Holy Ghost and realize if I get in the power and the demonstration of God, I'm going to set the captives free. I believe over in Isaiah, he said he has anointed me. He has sent me forth to preach deliverance to the captives, set them loose that's in prison, that's been bound up. You know, those people today that's in prison in sin are not in prison in a jail that the lock's been turned behind them, but they're a prison in sin that they need to get deliverance from, and they can do that by going to the blood and to the cross and say, Lord, just let me get at the foot of the cross. Let me see where the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost is coming down from. I believe tonight that we need God's children. I need, and I know I have said, oh me, I need to fast a lot more of what I do. I need to pray more than what I do. I need to seek God. I need to seek the face of the Almighty that I'll be able to do the things that he's told me to do, and he's told me to go forth to heal the sick and to cleanse the leper and raise the dead, cast out devils. That's what we need to do because he's told us that it all comes through the power of the cross. Ain't nothing come no other way but through the power of the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Somebody, you know, brother, I like what it says in Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. This flesh has got to be crucified. Romans, let me turn that right there. Romans 5, brother. Let me turn that right back, brother. Y'all just excuse me. Romans 5, I was just there at it. Romans 5. It tells you, oh, praise God. It tells you just exactly like Brother Miller was talking, and just like you were talking, what we've got to do to be in the will of God. And praise God, the devil don't want me to find it, but I'm going to find it. All right, right here it is. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not so only, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Without that blood atonement, brothers and sisters, you've gone to hell. There's not but two roads in this life. One leads to the kingdom of God, and another leads to the kingdom of doom. You go to heaven with God or hell with the devil. It's up to you. You do the chosen. You've got to walk that way. Nobody can walk it for you. You've got to come to God one-on-one if you plan to make it. It's not God's intention for no man to go to hell. It's not. Hell wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil and his angel. People say, well, God send you to hell? No, you send yourself to hell. You have a choice. He said, I lay before you this day a blessing and a curse. It's up to you to choose it. God don't choose it for you. You choose it yourself. You can go to hell if you want to, or you can go to that match and wait for you in heaven. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Well, you know, during life, we just got to look at life in general. you take when they crucified Jesus on the cross, you know, the very men that killed him, you know, I think Jesus had compassion on. But, you know, you can take, and during life, you can go through things. You know, I've met salesmen, whether they're Kirby vacuum cleaning salesmen or whether they're car salesmen. They go to seminars. They go to training. They watch films so they know how to talk to people. When they go to someone and they meet someone and they're trying to sell them an item, they can look by your reactions, your movements, your character, the way you speak, and they got a word for every way you turn. If you got eye movements, they know how to talk to you. If you got a blink in your eyes and your cheek moves, they know what that means. They know whether you're getting upset or whether you like what they're saying. These people are trained to know emotions. They're trained to know every movement that a body makes to see where they're standing, whether they got a chance to sell you something. They're good at what they do. But in the Christian way, in the Christian world, as ministers in the gospel, we call that discernment. And that's what people are needing now. They're needing discernment when they're around individuals, so they'll know what they're dealing with, so they'll know how to speak to them about our Jesus. If you've got the love of Christ in you, it don't matter where you're at, you're going to speak Jesus. Jesus is going to come out of your mouth in a conversation. You're going to want to tell them about Jesus. You're going to give them a word. You'll be able to tell whether they're in darkness or whether they've been saved. You're going to be able to tell whether they need, guidance, counseling, or whatever the situation calls for, if you're walking in the presence of God. You know, all through the Bible, Jesus gives illustrations about what he wanted his people to do, how he wanted them to behave, and how he wanted them to speak. For example, everybody's wanting miracles. Everybody's wanting to be healed, but nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to get it together. All they want to do is bicker and murmur and complain, but yet it's nobody's fault but their fault. Why is it their fault? Because they're not where they're supposed to be. They're in a different position. For an example, if a man's got a calling to be an evangelist, he's not a pastor. he's out of order. If a pastor's trying to be a prophetess and he's not called to be a prophetess, he's out of order. Can you hear me now? What I'm trying to tell you is too many people are trying to get in too many different positions that they're not called to be for. But I'll tell you something that we all called to be, and that's the Son of God.
Yes.
Jesus has all called everybody. He said, whomsoever will, let him come. You know, it was all arranged on the day of Pentecost. Acts tells us,
yes.
2:38 tells us, that he asked them to go a place. They went. He said, go up in the other room, did he not? Up in the upper room. They all went up into the upper room. They got up there. Now, it just didn't happen immediately. Why? Because they had to deal with the flesh issue. Because people was wanting to do that fleshly thing. They just wanted to visit a little bit, maybe bump hips around with each other a little bit, or tell them about what happened to them coming over there, or how many fish they caught last week, or whatever it may be. It took a little while to crucify the flesh, but when they started feeling something that felt a little bit like Jesus, when they started feeling something that felt just a little bit like God, it caused them to crucify that flesh. And as time went by, as they crucified themselves, as they made up their mind, as they got their mind frame set, as they got in order with God, then what happened? The Bible says it came like a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole room. And he said, then what happened then? When they got in one mind and when they got in one accord and when they got in the presence of God, he started doing a thing or two. He started doing it his way, not their way. He started putting things in order. He started imparting gifts. He started giving blessings. He started doing a healing thing. He started ministering to their deepest emotions. He started doing all the things, so much so that they all act like they've been drunk.
Yeah.
And that's what somebody said, well, they're drunk. But Peter, the guy that the same man that denied Christ stood up with boldness. Oh, it wasn't like the old Peter. It was a new Peter. He stood up just for a brief moment. He said, whoa. Now, we're all in the spirit here. Let's don't kill what Jesus and God has done, went and done up in here.
Amen.
And he said, what we're talking about, it's only the third hour of the day. Did he not say that? I believe it was the third hour of the day.
Third hour of the day.
And he said, these men are not drunken as you suppose. You know, he started telling them what was going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't have to tell them. I believe they already knew it was Jesus. I already believe that they knew it was God. But what it was is they didn't want none of it, just like when Jesus was walking in the earth. They just didn't want no part of it. They didn't want no part of it when Jesus was going up to Golgotha Hill, when he was hung on the cross, and they didn't want none of it on the day of Pentecost.
No.
Why? Because they were of the devil. But the ones that loved Jesus, the ones that wanted him, the ones that knew who he was, the obedient ones, they got their blessing. They got what they wanted. And then he said, you go out in the highway and hedges and compel them to come in.
Amen.
So they hit the road of running. And from generation after generation after generation till now, people has forgot about who Jesus is. They don't think Jesus' word is real. Listen to me. Matthew was good. Mark was good. Luke was good. John was good. The whole Old Testament was good. But let me tell you, people, we're standing right at the Revelation. We're sitting right in the middle of Revelation. Let me say it one more time. We're sitting right in the middle of Revelation. All these things was good, but that was the beginning rain. We're in the latter rain. What matters now is what Revelation has to tell us. We've got all the power. We got all the ammunition we need. We know what happened in the beginning. We know what happened in the middle. And now we're at the end, and the book already told us what's going to happen in the end. So what we got to do is get our house in order. We got to get our ducks in a row, so to speak. We got to call on Jesus and say, Jesus, I know that bad things are on the horizon for my fleshly body, but I'm going to, with your power, crucify my body so that you may live. And as we crucify our body, it's a really painful event because as long as we live in a fleshly body, we have earthly desires. Sometimes earthly desires can get our spiritual man in trouble. And that's where the world is today. We're in trouble. We need help from Jesus. We need compassion from Jesus. We need mercy from Jesus. We need grace from Jesus. And we need to be like the ostrich. We need to pick our Holy Ghost head up out of the sand so we can see our destiny and start marching forth in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, Jesus said, this is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, drink it. They pull back. This is a hard saying. Brother, we've got to do that today. His body is his word. His blood is his word. We've got to eat the word of God, drink it in holy. If we 99 and 9 tenths won't do. Brother, I would just think what you're talking about in Daniel. It said we have 70 weeks. If you take that back, you go back to Nehemiah, the second chapter. Exerxes looked at Nehemiah and said, what's wrong with you? Or I'm saying this in my word. What's wrong with you? You look bad, but you're not sick. He said, how can I feel good when the walls of my city had tore down and the gates had burned down? The king told him to take 600 men. All right, the 70 weeks started right there. All right, when Jesus was crucified, 69 of the week was up. It says in Daniel 9:27, he, the Antichrist, will make a covenant for many with many for 1 week. That's a week of years, which is 7 years. We are in, how close are we? Like you were just saying, Brother Miller, oh, we're so close. We're in the gap here now. When you see somebody, the Antichrist, make a covenant with Israel for 1 week or 7 years, you know that is him. Jesus said, it's even at the door. You better pray up, pack up, look up, and get ready to go up.
Amen.
Brother and sister, we are so close. If God would roll back the curtain and let you look, like he did when he brought, the curtain was torn to, come from the top down, if he would take the curtains off my eyes and a spiritual look at the time, the churches would be full.
Yes, they would.
There wouldn't be no little gathering. They would be full. But, you know, he said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Get on in prayer bones. Open that word of God. Get in harmony with God. Get that life straightened out. He said, I'll meet every need in your life according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you've gone by faith, if you show God faith, he'll show you results. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. I'm going to step back here for a minute, let them sing a song or two here. So,
the group His Glory Unlimited is coming to sing in the calm.
Praise the Lord. They'll be here just on there just in a minute to sing. We need to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just bear with us for a minute there and pray with us and pray for us, because this computer is trying to give us a fit. The devil's messing the pages up and everything else, so we're having a time here tonight to keep everything together with it there. But the broadcast is still going forth anyway. It went through where you could understand it. It was kind of up and down with me here. I don't know what the deal is. Everything going wrong, seems like, with the computer tonight. I think it went out good enough.
Yeah, good on my end.
Praise the Lord. We're going to read the prayer requests again here, and I feel like asking Brother Bobby to pray over them. We done had them once before and prayed over them, but some of the people wasn't in there maybe that when we read them a while ago, so we want to read them again and ask Brother Bobby to lead us in prayer on them. Then if we get wound up and go off, we'll just go off and we'll have the prayer request on there and everybody's prayed over them anyway.
The Millers have been under attack by the enemy, but we know that God is able to meet their need, and we just praise God for that. And we ask you to pray for my nephew Brandon that's in Iraq and all his people that's over there fighting with him, and God that God will protect them. We just ask you to pray for Robert North that needs salvation and deliverance, and pray for his little 10-year-old son Jonathan. Pray for Brother Yearwood. He needs a car. Timothy needs a job. Brother Drennan's uncle needs a miracle. My brother-in-law Clarence needs a miracle. He's got cancer in his body. But we know the healer. And my nephew Devin needs salvation. My cousin Jerry is in need of a miracle in his body. And we just ask you to just pray for all those that are listening, that God will supply all their needs.
Brother Bobby?
Yes.
What about leading us in prayer on them prayer requests right there?
All right, brother, let me put one there, too. I need a motor home.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to evangelize out of a car, but
yes,
I'll go where he sends me, Father. Father in heaven knows I'll go. I'm like Isaiah, I'll go. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, God, in the presence of the Holy God of glory, we come before the God, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask him for these requests, Father, to be answered, Father. For truly, you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Jesus, you said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You said, ask anything in your name and you will do it. Father, we consider not, we stagger not, Father, on your word. Oh, and we are fully persuaded, Father, that you shall meet them needs according to the riches and glory, just like you said. says, Father, we come before the throne of grace, Father, and asking in Jesus' mighty, holy, wonderful, sacred, glorified name, Father. God, we just praise you now, and we thank you now, and we glorify you now, and we love you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, amen and amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I know God's a way maker when they seem to be there. Whenever we look around, and a lot of times we see the circumstances, but God is always on time, always right on time. You know, they sang a song about 4 days late, but he was right on time. Whenever he went to the tomb of Lazarus, he might have been 4 days late, but he was right there on time. He was there on time to look up and say, I thank God, I know that you hear my prayer, but so this is for the people. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know, I thank God today that he called Lazarus. He didn't call everybody, but he called Lazarus, and he come forth on that fourth day. And you know, I thank God today that we can look to him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we can know that beyond every shadow of a doubt that everything that we have the need of, he's capable to meet that need if we just trust him and believe him for it. Praise
Brother
God.
Lazarus didn't get up and walk right out of that tomb. He had about 100 pounds of clothes and all on him. He had to walk up and to get out of it. When Jesus said, loose him and let him go, they took them clothes, them grave clothes off from him.
Yes,
and so like we can be wrapped and bound with grave clothes, so to speak. Jesus said, hey, just loose him and let him go. That's what we need to do, brother. We need to be loose in this world and go after the Word of God.
Amen. Well, he told us, you know, he said loose him. And when they loosed him, you know, the Mary thought he would be stinking, but he wasn't stinking. Jesus was there. He was the resurrection. And he still, praise God, still today is on the throne, doing the same thing for us if we'll just get loose in the Spirit and let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us, and we walk after the power of the cross, and God will do something for us. Right here, Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that were set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. You know, he bared the shame and went to the cross that you and I, praise God, wouldn't have to worry about anything. I believe that tonight. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If we'll just walk in the faith that he's placed in our hands and before us, you know, comes back to me again. It says, if you have this faith as grain of mustard seed, say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. It shall be cast into the sea, and say unto the sycamore tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea, that it shall obey you, be plucked up. You know, and I tell you what, we've got power tonight through the cross and by the cross, through Jesus, if we'll just be obedient to him. And I praise God for that tonight, that God has placed something in our hands. Because we are a child of God. Because we're the son of God.
Amen.
He gives us power. Praise God. Go ahead, Brother Miller. I heard you in a little bit.
Well, y'all are saying it all, and I'm enjoying it all. I mean, it's all about what Jesus requires of us. It's about, you know, having love and compassion for your brothers. You know, it's one thing, just loving your neighbor. But when you're a Christian, it makes it a little easier to love someone that thinks like you do and talks like you do. But the Bible says that we got to go a little bit further than that. That's just not quite good enough. It's good to rub elbows with Christians and love on each other, you know, up in the service. But
That man that out there despitefully uses you, that woman out there that says you're a false prophet, that man over there just stole your pickup, that man over there might have just shot your dog outside in your yard. The Bible says that you can't think about your emotions. You got to put them under, and you got to love them people just like you love Jesus. You don't have to love their behavior. Now, don't misunderstand. You don't have to love their wickedness. You don't have to love the devils in them. But God says as an individual, you got to see the unfinished product as what it is and start praying for them and loving them like Christ did. When Christ was on the cross and they was killing him, he still loved them.
Yes.
He told his mother, he said, "Mother, I'll make a way." And he did. He made a way for all of us to come. You know, we got to be sold out. We got to think like Jesus. We got to talk like Jesus. We got to walk like Jesus. We got to speak like Jesus. And I'm trying to learn this. It ain't easy. It don't just come overnight, but it comes with the walk in a relationship. And when I'm talking about when you have a relationship with the almighty, all-awesome, all-consuming God, it'll change your life forever. Why? Because you're no longer yourself. Why? Because you're sold out. Why? Because you know that anything that goes on, God's already allowed it. Anything that, you know, they ain't nobody can touch us unless it goes through the hand of God. Oh, yeah, bad things come our way. Somebody said, well, did Jesus do that? No, Jesus didn't do that. That was the devil. The devil come to do what? He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does good at his job. He don't want you to make it. He wants you to be in that pit with him. He knows that he's doomed. He knows where he's going to be for eternity. He don't want to be there by himself. Yeah, he's already made a plan. He took a third of the angels when he left heaven. Can you imagine what them angels think about him? Buddy, you done messed us up. We followed you. Look here where we're going. We're going to be there for eternity, too.
Amen.
So they just said, well, we might as well, you know, just hook on to you and you call you daddy for a while because we ain't going to get out of this, you know.
Amen.
The Bible says it was like lightning hit the ground when he got kicked out of heaven. You know, I don't want to follow nobody like that, but God, God gives us a way out. He, you know, and I'm learning and I'm trying to become more like Christ-like. Have you ever heard anybody say like that? I want to be more Christ-like. Well, let me tell you. There's a price to pay when you be Christ-like. You're going to go through some things. You know why? Because the devil don't want you to make it. But let me tell you, honey, somebody's listening to me. I want you to know that for every step, and I got this word here not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, every step you take forward, God's going to take too. And it ain't easy. It's hard. It ain't, if I told you it was easy, I'd be lying to you. I don't want to be called no liar. But I'm here to tell you that if you love Jesus and you want to become more Christ-like, you're going to go through some things. But I also tell you this, when you go through them and you make it, when you come out on the other side, the anointing's going to be greater.
Amen.
The glory's going to be stronger, and your speech is going to be changed even greater. Because why? Because the greater one lives in you. And when the greater one lives in you, you're more like your daddy. You know what? Earthly fathers, let me tell you something. Y'all might have seen this. Y'all might have been around longer than I have. But you can take a mother and a father and raise their children up. And if one of them parents is smoking a cigarette, them children are going to start watching them. And before long, they're going to be just like their daddy or just like their mama. They're going to be smoking like they're smoking. How about this? If they're cussing, they go through the house a ranting and a raving and cussing. It ain't going to be long. Them children is going to pick up on that. It's like an anger issue. You know, I call them generational curses. But let me tell you, the thing is that if you're like your earthly parents, how much more should you be like your heavenly father? Because you're going to put off the old man and put on the new man. Instead of cursing, instead of smoking, you're going to be praising. You're going to be walking for your Lord and your Savior. You're going to be lifting his name up. And when you become more Christ-like, you can have more discernment. You can help people further. You can explain yourself better. And they can feel the presence of God twice, three times stronger.
Amen.
That's why if you don't go, if you haven't went, we're all called to go out and tell about Jesus. If you don't go, who's going to go? Who's going to go in your place? Who's going to do your job? And what will happen on the day of judgment when you're standing before God and he said, you know, what have you done for me?
Yeah.
What did you do? You know, the man that had 10 talents,
received the talent from the one that only had one and buried it in the sand because he was lazy, because he didn't want to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's awful, ain't it? We're living in that hour right now. We're living in that hour right now, praise God.
Amen.
I believe it don't have to be that way. I believe that there's a way out, and it's called
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus. Let's climb that hill with us. Let's hold hands together. Let's go forth in the name of Jesus. Do you know every word that we spoke tonight is recorded in heaven? Do you know everything that I've spread through the airways tonight is recorded and wrote down, and I'm held accountable for every word? That's why I want to be accurate. That's why I want to be true. That's why I want to be faithful. That's why I want to know that I know what I know, what I know is real.
Yes.
And I'm not going to stand and tell a lie intentionally. I will not do that. Now, I may say something that maybe I don't have my facts all straight, or I may not have understood the situation, and things might not look just exactly right, but let me tell you, when I find it out, I'll get it right. When I find it out and I've done somebody wrong, I'll ask them for forgiveness. I'll get down on my knees and I'll pray. I'll seek God's face over the matter. You know, it's why? Because I'm held accountable. Because I'm the one that's standing before my Lord and Savior. I'm not held accountable for what you do. I'm not held accountable for what somebody else does unless I did them wrong.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you that God is a merciful God, but he's also a just God, and he's a jealous God. And if you know the truth and you're not doing it, shame on you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, brother, you bring up two or three things there to me there in my spirit. James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And you also brought up over there, you know, talking about Christ, like, you know, the word tells us to let our yea be yea and our nay, nay. If it becomes any other thing, it's evil. And another passage of scripture over there says, to be Christ-like, we're going to suffer persecution. And, you know, if we don't do some suffering sometimes, some persecution, then we need to stop and check up. You know, there's no brother that lives up here who used to sing a song, just checking up on my payments to the Lord. You know, we need to check up and see where things are at and what's going on. If Satan is not hitting at us and striking at us, there's something wrong somewhere or another. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I praise God tonight that we have that authority through the cross that we can know that everything that comes at us, it's evil, it comes from Satan, and the greater power is living in us.
Yes.
And we've got authority over it. Because of the cross and because the Lord loved us enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there's about one more minute left there. So I thank God tonight for everyone that tuned in and be with us, just to join us, just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. And like I said earlier, if you would like to come on and help us be a part of this broadcast, you just... go to LloydandBettyYearwood.com and click on donation. That'll take you right to the page where that you can donate to our ministry, and God will bless you for it. Just do whatever God told you to do. If God don't tell you to, don't do nothing, because I don't want nothing if it's not blessed of God. Just obey God out there and just worship the Lord. So. Brother Bobby?
Oh,
Brother Terry, I'm glad that you can come on and join us here tonight just to be a part of it.
You know, Brother, I would like to encourage any minister that's out there that may be listening, come on into the water. The water's good. You've heard what we speak on. You know how we believe, and it would be an encouragement to everyone for you to get on here with us and give us your thoughts.
Yeah.
Give us your ideas. I mean, we're all one big family. If you believe in the blood of Jesus and you believe in the works of the cross, you're family. No matter what denomination you are, we may all differ a little bit, but you know what? We're all going to have to learn to get along, because in heaven there ain't going to be no denomination. So I would encourage anyone that's a minister to call in and get on the program and give a word. Speak a word in due season.
Yes. Amen. We'll... open the doors and make them welcome to, brother. So, Brother Bobby?
Did we lose Brother Bobby?
No, I'm here. I'm just been enjoying it.
Okay,
I'm going out to say good night and bye, because the time is done up, and Brother Miller and Brother Bobby, we're sure glad and appreciate you coming on being with us tonight.
Appreciate being here, brother. God give the opportunity to be here.
Amen. Yeah. So
it's never too late to give a word and be a part of Jesus' family, that's for sure. Well, good night. I know we're out of time, so good night, everybody. We love every one of you.
Good night. God bless you. We love you. Bye.